Happy Monday to you. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. Certainly grateful that you have joined us today as we jump back into our series called Taboo, where we're looking at the reality that our current controversies need timeless truths. And one of the things that I've encouraged us to do is to follow the fault lines of biblical truth instead of following the headlines of cultural trends and cultural opinions. And so we've worked our way through these reading principles now for 2 weeks. There's a context for every text. We have to read God's word in the context that it was given. Two, the Bible is literature. Three, we use the plain meaning wherever possible, wherever we can. And then fourth, the Bible was written for us, but not to us. It was written to an ancient people. Now it's all inspired, right? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's all from him. It's profitable for us for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3. But we have to remember that it was written to an ancient people. And we're just trying to work our way through and show that we don't need to panic whenever something comes up in the scriptures that we don't understand, and especially in regards to areas around sexuality. So we asked this question on Sunday that seems like it's getting asked all the time. Is the Bible, is Christianity regressive when it comes to sexuality? And so we really ran along these two ideas that God is the author of life. And if that's true, then we live out freedom underneath God's authority. And it's not that we need our freedom is not having our limitations removed and us getting to do whatever it is that we want. We looked at Genesis 1 through 3 and how Adam and Eve, how God created them in the context of the first marriage, that thrice-fold cord bound up with him that is strong as husband and wife live in covenant bond together in unity. And Genesis, I think, is real clear, you know, that marriage is one man plus one woman and in that covenant bond. But you think about things like the current transgender debate that's kind of going on in our culture. And I offered what I think are a couple of helpful resources, the book Embodied by Preston Sprinkle, and then Andrew Walker's book, God and the Transgender Debate, both of which are reviewed on the Gospel Coalition. And I offered links to the reviews and the books in my app notes, if you want to go back there on the app and find those links. But both Sprinkle and Walker say that there's a copious amount of biblical evidence for the fact that God not only is the author of life, but that he also defines gender. So there's not a separation between those two things. And if that's the case, then we don't have the opportunity to change those things. And so then God offers us freedom inside of limitations. And that's really where Adam and Eve got caught. Because when the enemy came to them and said, listen, God's trying to hold you back here. He doesn't want you to take the fruit from the tree because he knows you'll become like him, knowing good and evil. They stepped outside of God's boundaries and they had to bear the consequences for those decisions. And we're, you know, human beings. We can do whatever. God gives us the freedom to do whatever we want, but not without consequences. And so in the context of human relationships, I just think it's important for us to remember that romantic relationships are not about our personal fulfillment. One of the things that Genesis says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, that we don't talk about very much is that when Adam and Eve leave the garden, it says Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bore a son. They named him Cain. And, after Adam and Eve leave the garden, they're still married. They're still living in covenant. And so Adam and Eve really become an example for us that human beings have to work this out in the context of not only their own flawed natures, but how a husband and a wife have to lay their lives down for each other. And it becomes very difficult and complicated at times. But our example in that in the New Testament is that Paul says to the Ephesian church, just like Jesus laid his life down for the church, and he refers to it as his bride, that a husband and a wife can lay down their lives for each other's. And it's God's incredible love that empowers us to love one another underneath God's authority, the author of life, it becomes something incredibly, incredibly beautiful. So if you ask me, the question is Christianity regressive? I'm going to say no, that because of the love of Jesus, this idea that, you know, we're so sinful that Jesus had to die for us, but he loved us so much, he was glad to die for us, that's what overran certainly the physical suffering of the cross. And Jesus offers us that love today. So I want to pray us towards that love and then give you the opportunity to pray. God, there's just so much confusion, but we're grateful for this series, this reminder that we don't have to panic when there's something that we don't understand, that we can go to your word, that we can go to truth. We have community in the church, and that, God, we can live from a reservoir of your love. And God, I pray you'll help us to do that today, that we'll begin our day with this idea, this walk of gratitude, where we're thanking you for everything that you've given to us and that you've done for us. And be reminded today that we are your sons and that we are your daughters, and nothing can ever move us off of that. Now you take the opportunity to pray.